Proverbs, as we've said on Wednesday night so often, are given to teach us to live life wisely. It's important to understand that Proverbs are not always meant to be absolute statements, but that they are at times meant to be just simply a truism or a wise statement that comes from a long period of observation. And that's much what we have in this verse right here. We have a truth. We have what is a truism. It's something that is a rule of thumb even. It's something that will prove to be true. That after long observation, men have determined this. He mentions a couple birds in the first part. And these proverbs tend to have one statement and then a second statement that either parallels it or explains or it helps to analyze it. And the first statement, what he's talking about, birds that are in flight that are very unlikely to land or to light, whether upon an individual or to stop in flight. When you read commentaries, some may say that's talking about lighting upon the person. We certainly know that is very rare. Or there are typical birds, as you watch them, you won't see them just land. They're in flight. They're just going. But he uses that to come to the second part. The second part is what he's interested in. And that is that a curse causeless shall not come. Just as it's very unlikely a bird will light upon you or land in flight. That's in a long distance flight that you'll see it land. It is very unlikely that there will be a curse, but what there is a cause. That's his point. A curse is very unlikely to come without a cause. Or to put it another way, where there is evil, there is generally a reason. Where things go wrong, there's a reason for why they go wrong. There is most often a cause for each curse. That's not to say that there are things that happen that are bad that we do not know why they come. Obviously, from the Bible, everything that happened in Job's life, there was a cause, but he did not know what the cause was. Satan was doing something to his life, but Job didn't know it. But there was a cause. And sometimes there are things beyond the realm of our knowledge. There are things that are happening in the spiritual world, and we do not know till much later what exactly was happening. When we talk about cause and effect, and that's what we're seeing here, there's an effect, there's a curse, there's something bad happens. Now he's saying there's a cause. We have to allow for providence, and that is that God sometimes is doing things that we don't understand. But he is still working. He's accomplishing his purposes. We know this is true, that the bad things often happen to good people. And certainly, if you've lived life very long, you've experienced some bad things. But we also know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we also know this, that everything that appears to be bad is not necessarily a curse. It's not necessarily bad. Many times, what seemed to be terrible at the time has turned out to be very good. That there was great good that came out of it, or it led to good that wouldn't have happened had we not gone through it. And so, while we're looking at the truth that a curse without cause will not come, we understand that there are spiritual reasons things that happen. There are things we don't understand, we cannot understand, maybe in time we will understand. But it's important for this morning to consider just this great truth that is laid out for us here. And I hope that God will help us and speak to us here that where there is a curse, there's a cause. Where there's a reason. Where there's something wrong, there's a reason. There's something positive and negative both in this in this truism, in this proverb. First of all, it speaks to baseless fear. And that's a positive statement. What this passage is telling us, a curse causes shall not come, that you don't have to live in fear, baseless fear of what might happen, as if chance or fate controls your life. You hear people talk about chance or fate, a fatalist. A believer is not a fatalist. He's not looking for all the mysteries of why this happened and that happened and this didn't happen. Generally, there's a reason that's very clear why something happens or why something doesn't happen. That's the great truth, that we don't need to live in baseless fear. I'm just afraid this is going to come upon me. Well, generally, there's a reason why things happen. People say sometimes, well, it was just meant to happen. And when they say that, they're just saying there was no reason. There's no cause. Maybe something terrible happened and they're just a fatalist. They say, well, it was just meant to happen. This proverb is saying that's not generally true. That is not, you may have the providence of God. You may have God doing something. But generally speaking, you don't have to just roll over and say, well, it's meant to be, and I just accept it. Begin to realize that maybe something is a cause behind this, and I can do something about it. Life is not determined by the stars, as people say. Isn't it amazing that people who cast off the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they cast off the idea of a creator, and yet they're willing to believe that the stars control their destiny. And they're willing to every day get their papers down and read their horoscopes. This is the learned age. These are the advanced people that have come to be so smart to know there can't possibly be a God. And yet they're stupid enough to believe that the stars control their destiny. And they'll read the papers every week to do so. If that offends you, I'm sorry to offend you, but I hope it helps you to be a little more sensible than that, to believe the stars control your destiny. This passage tells us a curse causeless does not come. And so not only does it speak to baseless fear, but it speaks also to responsibility for what comes upon us or what we face. This is maybe to some negative, but I hope it's a help and a positive thing to you. People want to believe things just happen. I don't know altogether the answer to why they want to believe just things happen, except perhaps this, that they don't want to feel like they're responsible for what happens. You remember in the Old Testament, when Moses had gone up into the mountain to receive the commandments at the hand of God, that the people convinced Aaron to make another god, a golden calf. And when Moses came down from the mountain and he saw that golden calf, he said, Aaron, what did these people do to you that they convinced you to make this golden calf? What could they have possibly done to you? And Aaron says, well, what happened actually is we gathered all of the jewels and earrings and rings and necklaces and we just put them in the fire and it just happened. The fire did it. Sounds like talking to a little two-year-old, doesn't it? But that's what Aaron's answer. And that's what people want to believe. They want to believe that things just happen. But there is the truth. This proverb teaches us something that we all know, if we're honest. And I trust I'm talking to honest people here. We'll face truth. It's something that we all know, that most of our troubles have a definite cause. That there is a reason for most of the troubles of life. And to go a step further, most of my trouble is self-inflicted and most of your trouble is self-inflicted. A curse, a bad thing, does not just happen. That's what the proverb is telling us. That there is a reason that we face what has happened to us. One of the surest things that we know of in life is the law of cause and effect. That where you see something, something caused it. That's one reason we believe in God. Ultimately, there has to be a first cause or what has been called an uncaused cause. You go back, and you say everything has to have a cause. Well, what is the first cause? That's the philosopher's search. And again, people that are so intelligent can believe it began with a bang. It began maybe with a glob. Easier than they can believe that there must be a God. Because everything tells us there has to be a cause. You're sitting in a building that you know did not build itself. There has to be cause behind it. And in the world that we live in, we have always known there is a cause. I don't expect anybody truly believes that there's not finally a cause. And so you have to have a first cause. But we all believe in cause and effect. But when it comes to life, we would rather believe things just happen. They're accident. And I'll apply this as we go to help us understand. But we all understand about cause and effect. What we're talking about in this text is the law, even of sowing and reaping. That what a person sows, they reap. That here is something that's growing. When you plant your garden, and if you use children to plant your garden, there's something growing where it's not supposed to be growing. And you don't need to think, well, wonder what happened. An examination of the facts will tell you quickly what happened. A child planted something where he wasn't supposed to plant it. There may be other reasons, but that tends to be it. And so there is the cause and effect. The cause, a curse without a cause does not happen. God is no respecter of persons. It's one of the great truths of the Bible. In other words, as God looks at this congregation this morning, He does not respect one of us over another based upon any reason. He does not respect us. Well, this is the educated crowd. These are the country folks. I love country folks. These are the city folks. Those are the people that really know. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care about height. He doesn't respect a person about those sort of things. That's the clear teaching of the Bible. God is not a respecter of persons. I say that to say this. The principles of God are the same for every person. The principles on which God deals with people is the same. God is not a respecter of persons. The gospel provision is for every one of us. It's for all. If the Bible teaches us anything, it teaches us this, that Christ died for every man. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible teaches us that God desires that all come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. The Bible is so clear, Christ's invitation is for all. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. God's principles are the same. He deals without respect of persons. The condition of abundant life is the same for all. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly in John chapter 10 and verse 10. That's true for all. Christ came for all. Christ died for all. Christ invites all. And He came that all of us may have abundant life. All that said, I want to say this. That righteousness, the Bible says, and peace have kissed each other. And by that it means this. That there is a connection between righteousness and peace. That when you find righteousness, you find peace. When you find the absence of righteousness, you do not find peace. Peace in the heart of a man and peace in relationship with people is dependent upon righteousness. Now let me say to you that that principle of God is true to every one of us. There is no chance in that. There is no fate in that. It is not determined by respect to persons. It is true for you. It's true for me. It's true for your family. It's true for my family. It's true for all families. There's another principle that's laid out in the Bible. The way of the transgressor is hard. And the Bible teaches there is no peace to the wicked. And that is applied to all. Listen to me. The way of the transgressor is hard. That's a principle that applies to all. Transgression is sin. Transgression is going against the righteousness of God. And the Bible tells us that whoever goes against the righteousness of God, the way will be hard. One of the problems we have today, the church is being asked to counsel. And people have a lot of troubles and they want to come to the church for counseling. But we cannot help anybody. We can't help anybody unless they understand that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And secondly, that the way of the transgressor is hard and there is no peace to the wicked. There's no amount of counseling in the world. There's no genius in counseling that can find you true peace in your heart apart from righteousness. So we find people. We find people in a terrible condition. And we find the world in a terrible condition. It's not the stars. It's not fate. The curse does not come causeless. The problems that we face in our nation, there is a definite cause. We apply this. Apply it to children. I think I'm safe in saying that a great number of Americans believe that children are a curse. A great number of people have raised children that have broken their heart and broken their lives. The fact is, in America today, there's a large number of people that are parents that are actually in hiding from their children. They've moved off with no forwarding address and changed the phone number. They've left them the house. They just want away from it. But we are facing crime, delinquency. One of my sons asked me yesterday, do they have a jail for children, for boys? I don't know where he gets an idea like that, but I helped him. I said, yeah, they have delinquency homes for boys that won't obey their parents. But we're living with this. The Bible says children are a blessing. The Bible says they're the heritage of the Lord. And we who have known the Lord and have been blessed with family, we agree with that. And we want, not only do we want children, but we want grandchildren. If our children get married and within a year or two they don't have grandchildren, we don't know what's up. Let's go. We want children. We want grandchildren. Some of you go to extremes with grandchildren. But we have a completely different perspective. But in the world, children have become a curse. And people tend to think it just happens. If you talk to people, they'll say, I don't know what's wrong with this child. I don't know what's wrong. And the child has become a curse. They would have you think the world will, that good kids just happen. We ought to be amazed right here and in any conservative Bible preaching church that preaches. How many good children come out of churches like this? I don't say that we've been successful 100% in raising children, but I will say to you and the group before you, I've been here at all 23 years. And I'm telling you this, in 23 years, I've saw a lot of grandchildren come through this church. I've seen them grow up and they're good parents now and they're good people. And there's a connection. There's a difference between how you parents are raising your children and the children of the world are being raised. You start with, you teach your children about God. You haven't taught them they came from some lower form of life. It's no wonder to me children have such a poor self-image and self-esteem. You tell them they're nothing but one step removed from an ape and you expect them to have a high self-image. Tell them they're made in the image of God, that God made them. He made them for Himself. Tell them that they're born to walk upon their feet, to stand upright. They're made in the image of God with a dignity given to them. Raise them to respect right, discipline. Can we imagine why children will not obey the law when they're teenagers, when they were not made to obey their parents when they were 2 years old? It is insane to me that the people who are having such difficulty in this world do not begin to question, is there not a cause? Instead, they'd rather read their stupid newspapers about the stars and what star they're born under and talk about fate and chance instead of realizing in this world There's a good group of children that are being raised up to walk upright, to be good. And what's the difference between them? Start with the amount of television good children watch and children that go the wrong way watch. Look at the music they listen to. Look at the crowd they hang around with. There's basic cause. I would say to you that want to raise your children, consider the peer pressure upon your children, who your children's friends are. All of these things are vital and important. Now, the curse that has come is not causeless. You know, to me, the world leaves me in a terrible place. It leaves me in a terrible place of hopelessness. In other words, if it just happens, if there's no reason, then I'm going to sit back and I have my children and I can't do anything about the direction of their life? No. God's way still works. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. The way of the transgressor is hard. God's principles are this, they will work. You take the curse of unhappiness that's gripped our country. We call it depression, but we've got to ask ourselves, why are we so unhappy? Why is life not abundant? I've been reading this week, and it's amazed me, these countries that have taken and legalized suicide and doctor-assisted life-ending, whatever they want to call it. And you know thousands are doing that? Thousands are opting to go to a doctor's office, given medicine, go home to die. Get in the car with the medicine in them to go home to die. I can't fathom that. And yet, what a terrible condition it is. Why so many drugs? Illegal drugs and legal drugs. Drugs to make us feel good, to make us happy. Why don't we ask, what is the cause for unhappiness? Isn't there a cause why people are unhappy? If indeed God made the world, is it possible that man can live and be happy in his world without going by his rules? Is not there a spiritual connection if there is a God? Listen, if there is a God, then obviously if there is a God, that makes all the difference in our life. It should not amaze us, we who have watched a nation say there is no God, and begin to insult that God and turn away from that God. It should not amaze us to see the unhappiness that comes. Don't blame God. There is a cause for the misery that people are in. Most often it's the relationship of life. Either their relationship to their husband or wife or their relationship with their children. And again, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. If you're here today as a married couple, and you don't have peace, you must understand that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The simplest way to have a good marriage is to be right with God and to do right by God and to do unto others as Jesus told us, do unto others as He would have, as you would have them do to you. We call it the golden rule. It is golden. It's never been surpassed. But it's not causeless. We ignore the spiritual. We ignore the personal relationships. I say to you that a man and women, if you're in a married relationship, and that relationship's not right, and you're not doing right by it, you're not going to have peace. They may give you medicine. And if you want to take medicine the rest of your life, nobody can say anything about that. But a much better way is to find peace with that person you love and make right with that person. And as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. We grew up in America, American dream. I'm talking about the curse causes. I'm applying it now to the unhappiness. Because nobody can doubt, America is in a miserable condition. And a lot of it is the American dream. A lot of what's happening in people's lives is television and media. They've hyped up what it means to be American. And then when people get 30 and 40 years old, they're disappointed. They haven't reached that goal. And one thing you ought to do is step back and say, maybe my goal was unrealistic. Or come to look at life and say, your life is basically simple. God made Adam, and He gave Adam a companion. And there they were together in the garden. And that's where life is. Life is simple. I would that we could somehow learn to enjoy being home with each other. I understand the world's got to go every night. I understand the world's pursuit because their heart is empty. But what of us who understand life? We don't have to have the American dream to be happy. We can have the abundant life without it. Most adults' unhappiness is because of choices they made when they were youthful. They made decisions. And I don't know how we help people here, but it's cause and effect is what I'm trying to tell you. If you could leave here and realize that there is life, cause and effect, and go back. I can't resolve all your personal problems, but I'm telling you a principle. A curse causeless does not come. And we need to help and do better educating our youth and how to marry. Or how to choose a career. I think most of us that are 30 and 40 and 50 years old, we wish we'd had more help. Probably we weren't ready to listen. But now in midlife, we're unhappy with our circumstances. Young people go into debt. And debt causes misery. And they're overwhelmed with debt. You parents, we ought not push our children to that extreme. The trouble is our children want what we have that took us 30 years to get there. You may say that, but more than likely the problem is that we are trying to get our children to have what we have that took us 30 years to get there. We're trying to do for them and get them to where we are. Instead of allowing them to go through the sufferings and the pains and the accomplishments on their own. To put it bluntly, the cause and effect with children is more with the parents than the children. And the cause and effect with the unhappiness of life is so much what we failed our youth. But let me put it this way, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And the way of the transgressor is hard. Sin. The misery level is connected to sin. And as sin continues to abound in this country, misery continues to abound. We have more adultery, perversion, pornography on our TVs, our computers. We have more just dishonest people. Lying is a way of life. People just lie. You that are out there, you know they just lie constantly. They don't bat an eye and lie. They just look you right in the eye and boom, they lie to you. And they don't expect you to be upset when they know you lied to them. But it seems to me it's just an honest response to be upset to somebody who's a liar. If you ask me if it's going to make me mad if you lie to me, yes. I don't like liars. I don't like thieves. I know we say, preacher, we got to love them. And I understand what you mean. But you don't like them either. You don't want them lying to you and stealing from you. Sin. I've watched the curse seem to come on whole families. And I'm not thinking of any particular political family you may think of when I say that. But I think of people who once knew God or seemed to know God. And here, I could locate for you. In fact, I was talking to somebody just recently. And it made me think about their whole family. And it took me back 40 years ago. 40 years ago. When the whole family was in church and the children were in church and we were all there. And 40 years, a history could be written of two families. But the one family, finally one of the young men just killed himself right in front of his children and his wife. And just this whole history, you say, well, why did that happen? And I hear the man who says, well, God determined it all to happen. No, there's cause and effect, friend. And you can put your pencil to it. And you can watch the decisions leaders of families have made with God. And brother and sister, you've got to forecast 30 years of a decision. Look down the road, 30 years. Because if you live long enough, you will live to see. The history of your decisions and my decisions will be seen. It's not a mystery. I could take you to big families like that all along and show you. I mean, there's numbers of them in my own spiritual heritage, a history, a numbers of families that once you could say all of the family was just like the Rice family this morning on one row in the church. And 30 years later, the whole family, every one of them, is out, and some have died out away from the church. And some people say it's just a mystery, isn't it? It's just a mystery. And I'm saying this morning it's not a mystery. A curse causeless does not come. It's not a mystery. There's a cause. You may be living there. I'm trying to abuse you, to get you away from a meaningless or a baseless fear. You don't have to live in baseless fear. You don't have to live in a baseless fear about your children. Well, you must understand that there is cause and effect. And a curse causeless does not come. And if you do right this by your family, this proverb will more than prove to be true. And you'll look at it and say, that was an absolute truism. A curse causeless did not come. Man's ultimate curse is not causeless. Man has been cursed. The ground has been cursed by sin, by God. When Adam and Eve sinned, the ground was cursed. The curse fell upon them. Their son became a murderer of another son. And if you ask Adam, how did all of this happen? You were in this garden. And in that garden, you had peace and you had a beautiful thing. And now out here, your son Cain has killed your son Abel. How did all that happen? It's not causeless. Man's condition in the world is not causeless. Man began, the Bible teaches us, with the knowledge of God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 that God has placed the world in our heart. You know, let me say to you, every one of you in this room, you can deny it if you want. You can resist it if you want. But there's something in your heart that tells you you have a soul and there's something beyond. It doesn't matter who you research. The greatest philosophers of life have tried to find the answers to the questions of life. The greatest minds that have ever lived have asked, where did we come from and where are we going? What's after death? What's the meaning of life? Why am I here? All of these questions, they cannot be escaped. They're there. They're there because God has placed eternity. He's placed the world in our heart. The Bible says that God gives light to every man that comes into this world in John chapter 1 verse 9. But man suppresses the truth. Man is guilty of the worst of all crimes, and that's the crime against his Creator. He's ignored him, and he's denied him, and he's refused him, and he's mocked him. And so the curse has not come without cause. Find through the Bible. Go through the Bible. See the curses that have come. Here is Cain. He's cursed. But God said to him, Cain, if you do well, you will be accepted. Somebody says, well, God determined that Cain would be what he was. And God determined that Abel would be what he was. That isn't what we find in the Bible. We find in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, God saying to Cain, if you do well, you will be accepted. In other words, Cain, there's a cause. There's a reason. You're suffering because of your own doings. When Jacob gathered his 12 sons around to bless them, his oldest son, Reuben, received a curse. You find it in Genesis 48. And why was Reuben cursed? Reuben was cursed because he committed fornication with his own father's handmaid. And when Jacob died, he pointed at Reuben and said, you did this. You're unstable as water. You will not excel. And Reuben had to leave there in his life. He would not excel. He would not prosper. He would not do well. You say, well, I just can't do good in this world. The reason Reuben couldn't do good in this world was the cause. The cause was what he had done. We don't want to look at life this way because we don't want to be responsible. We want to feel something else is responsible. That's why people like to blame the school. As long as they can kick the school for their children, they'll kick the school. They'll kick the Sunday school. They'll kick the church. They'll kick the pastor. They'll kick anybody they can. Because they do not want to look in the mirror and say, a curse causes will not come. What have I done? Have I watched my children? Have I allowed them to sit mindlessly in front of the television? Have I allowed them to go stay nights on end with people? I don't know what's even going on in their home. Have I knelt beside their bedside and prayed with them? Have I read the Bible to them? Do we have dinner together? Have I talked to them about righteousness and about life? You see, we'd rather just say, well, it's the school's fault if the school was doing what it ought to do. Oh, my friend, the curse causeless has not come. And I don't mean to beat you. I mean to give every family here hope. Because listen, friend, it's not a mystery. It's not just something that happens. As much as anything, you make it happen. Do you understand that? I'm not teaching work salvation. I'm teaching responsibility. I'm teaching following what the Bible says. Oh, this is difficult. In Isaiah chapter 5, the Lord asks He talked about his vineyard and he said, what more could I have done to my vineyard? What more could have been done? What more could God have done? Not much he could have done. When you look at it, everything he's done. Here God is. He made a perfect world. And he gave man a choice. He could have made man a robot. He didn't make him a robot. He gave him a choice. Having made the wrong choice, then God said, I'm going to send a redeemer and save you. Well, to do that, he first sent his law. He gave his righteous commandments. Then he sent his Savior. Now he gives us the book. This book will tell us about life. I know, listen, I can almost hear somebody saying, well, I know Christians that are just failing miserably. And sadly, I do too. But I don't know any Christian that's failing miserably that's following this book. I don't know any Christian that's failing miserably, but upon the examination of their life, we'd find the principles of this book. It's one thing to be violated. It's one thing to carry the Bible. It's another thing to read it and believe it and practice it. We fight over the authorized version. That's what I preach from. But it really doesn't matter what version you carry if you don't read it. It doesn't matter what version you carry if you don't read it to your children, if you don't have it in the home. It's what we do with the Bible. That's what matters, is what we do with it. Well, let me just sum up some things and close. You've already deducted this, and it's no doubt another word's been said, but let's just say it one more time. Actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. Whether those actions are good or bad. We need to ask the question, why did this happen? What is the cause? When we do so, we'll probably end up with some repenting and we'll do some with some sorrow. And I speak that from experience. I've made some terrible mistakes and decisions in parenting. And I have nowhere to blame but me. But I'll tell you this, the hope of all of my children is that I take responsibility, see where I did wrong, and start doing right. Some people say, well, you did this when you was a kid. Yeah, it's foolish to do wrong because somebody else did wrong when they was a kid, isn't it? Just foolish. We all made mistakes, yes, but let's do better. Let us face clearly the facts that things are as they are because, basically, of what we're talking about, that actions have consequences, and let us cease to condemn God. What is the result of our own doing? I don't have time for this world to tell me, if God is so good, why are there wars? If God is so good, why is there sickness? If God is so good, why is there death? You know where all that comes from? That comes straight out of the devil's mouth. That's all he's ever been doing. First, look at Genesis 3. Did God say that? Well, you know, God doesn't believe that. If God knows that you'll be exceedingly wise if you eat this fruit. Yes, there's disease, and yes, there's death, and yes, there's poverty, and yes, there's sickness. And it's all tied to man's original sin, and it's continued on in sin. But God is good. Our actions. Ask God to forgive us and to guide our lives. I said, look, here I am. I not only need forgiven where I've messed up, but I need the Lord to take control of my life. I need Him to guide my life. I need Him to show me. Do you pray now more for wisdom to lead your children than you have in the past? Do you pray more for guidance of life than you've done in the past? Have your problems made you more dependent upon God? That's what we need to be. Jesus said these words in John 15, verse 5. Without me, you can do nothing. And I sometimes think that's the verse I would take for a life's verse if I was to take one. Because I'm coming to the reality that it's everything. It's all things. Did you know you cannot pray without Him? Are you honest enough to not raise your hand, but are you honest enough to say that prayer is a very difficult thing? And perhaps you're honest enough to say that I have real trouble understanding the Bible. I have real trouble loving people. I have real trouble being thankful. I have real trouble to name anything. And then put John 15:5 beside it. Without me, you can do nothing. The truth is, as long as we govern our own lives by our own wisdom, we'll continue to bring curses upon our life. Man was not meant to walk on his own. Man was meant to be guided by the power and the wisdom of God. Do you see that? We've been saying that actions have consequences and we ought not blame God for what happens. But we don't want to leave it there. We want to come down finally and say, as long as we continue to direct our own lives without leaning on the everlasting arms of God, we will continue to make tragic mistakes. So let us ask God, forgive us. Let us admit we sure have made a mess of things. But let us not stop there. Let us say, dear God, would you guide my life? Would you direct my life? Would you give me wisdom? We just ask Him and lean on the everlasting arms. One day man will face God in the final judgment. And those without Christ will meet the worst and final curse, to be lost forever. And when a man stands before God on that day, he will begin to say, I did all these other things in your name. I'm as good as so and so. But on that day, here will be the facts. The books of God will be open. The books, the record of our lives. And when God is through, the Bible says every mouth is shut. The world is guilty before Him. And when a man goes into final torment, he will go there for eternity knowing that the curse was not causeless. That a man went to hell not because of what his mama was or daddy was or the neighborhood he lived in, but he went there because the cause was his own life. That it was he who persisted in sin. It is he who ignored God. It is he who did not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross for his sins, bore his curse in his own body for him. And a man for eternity will know it's not causeless. The curse causeless will not come. Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. I'm trying to disabuse us of one thing, that things don't just happen, that there's cause and effect. But in that, I'm trying to say this, that once you know that, and you begin to take the right actions, you begin to get the right results. Just as sure as the cause that's wrong leads to the effect, the curse, the cause that's right will lead to the good. You may wonder, how is a man going to be saved? There's cause and effect there. You're going to have to respond to Jesus Christ. He calls you. He calls you to repent of your sins, and He calls you to believe upon His Son. He calls you this day. If you're saved, it'd be because of what He's done, but also it's your response to that. What is your response to God? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Thy Word. We understand, Lord, this message is sent to us today. We speak under Your guidance and leadership. We speak, Lord, knowing that our country needs to understand what we said here today.